Shall we pray? Father, please open our minds and hearts and spirits today to receive everything that you have for us, for the glory of your name. Amen. In case you were wondering, it was basketball, and fortunately, the other guy didn't score, and it was a draw, so it was worth it. So it was okay. I might have mentioned to some of you before that when Debbie and I lived in Windsor, we had a neighbour two doors up, and he was an old gentleman and seemed to be on his own, seemed to be completely alone, and never really seemed to have anybody come to visit him or anything. And so occasionally when he was, for example, trying to undo a sort of bottle of bleach or one of those things that's grandmother-proofed or grandfather-proofed, or if he was trying to open a can and was finding it difficult, he'd come down and ask us for a little bit of help. And so we got to know him a little bit. I can't say he ever became one of our best friends, but we got to know him a little bit. And he seemed, as I say, he seemed to be on his own. But actually, when it came to his funeral, we didn't go to the funeral, but we found actually afterwards that he had relatives living in just another street, just sort of two streets away. He had a sister and a brother. And he never, ever saw them because there'd been some rift and the whole sort of family had decided they weren't going to talk to him anymore and he wasn't going to talk to them. And it was a really tragic story because he went through decades of wasted relationship, really, with his relatives. And I think there's a lot of stories like that in a lot of families. I know that in my family, there are people that don't, but there's a brother and sister who aren't currently talking to each other, and we're trying to help them do that. But the even greater tragedy, actually, is that many of us live like this with God. In the first few verses of Romans, Paul says, actually, it doesn't have to be like that. We can actually be reconciled to him. And in fact, Paul is talking about really the reconciliation of all reconciliations, that we can have peace with God, which is an amazing thing. We don't have to live a remote life from him. And at the center of God's promise, there's an invitation for a loving, personal relationship between us and the Creator God. It's an amazing thing. Even though God is so big, his very nature is love. And it's completely natural for him to build a relationship with each of us. But it's all right for him. It might be natural for him. But it doesn't really seem to be natural for us as often, does it? We find prayer quite difficult sometimes, don't we? And the Bible is quite a handful at times. And if we're honest, we know where we feel we stand before God. As we approach him, we kind of feel repelled because of the state that we're in, that we don't feel we're good enough to go and walk to God. And Paul, who wrote this book, Romans, that we heard our first lesson from, actually says in chapter 8 that we find him groaning in prayer because he finds himself in that state. He knows his position in front of God and he's struggling to pray. But it's not just those things, are there? There's other things that derail us, like redundancy or illness, for example. Or maybe we're in debt. These are life's pressures and problems that come and hit us from time to time. And we find ourselves maybe trying to hang on to faith in hope, even though we can't really see God's presence. But Paul invites us to understand that there's a reality, that there's a solid rock of faith beneath the shifting sands of our feelings. Paul wants to tell us that we're in a state of grace, as he says. We're surrounded by God's love and generosity, and we're invited to breathe it in as if it was air. In verse 1, Paul is saying, as we do this, as we breathe in God, we begin to realize that this is what we're made for. When we stand in God's presence, there's no need to tremble, but simply a need to say thank you, to inhale his goodness and wisdom, to inhale his power and his joy in prayer, and fill our hearts with his grace and forgiveness. Invest time in reading our Bibles and applying God's word to our lives, allowing God's word to make the journey from our eyes to our mind and then finally to our heart. As we do so, we kind of want to surrender to him. We start to reflect God in our lives to those around us. We start to be able to serve our neighbors. And we see God moving in our lives and the lives of others. God begins to transform us, to make us different. And then we'll be in a better place to face up to those things that derail us. As Paul suggests, we can even celebrate in the midst of our sufferings. It's a strange thing to say, isn't it? To celebrate if we've got a habit we can't break, or an addiction we can't kick, or an attitude we can't seem to get over, or a failed relationship we can't repair. But Paul's not saying celebrate our sufferings. He's not buying a cake and lighting candles for the fact that he's got this habit he can't kick or whatever. What he's saying is, actually, there's a steady progression. We're celebrating in our sufferings. We're saying, even though we are suffering, God is good. And there's a steady progression. God can use our sufferings. God can use those things that derail us to help transform us into the people we were meant to be. Paul says we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials because they help develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our hope and our hope of salvation. So the things that cause us to suffer and derail us, the fact is we can't go under them, we can't go over them, we have to go through them, a bit like that bear hunt. We can't deny them, we can't bypass them. But if we're sensible, we go through them with God, hand in hand with God. And as we go through them, Jesus forms us. Our character develops and we become more like him. It takes time, it takes patience, and it takes commitment. But we live in a world of instant gratification, don't we? Where everything has to be now, now, now. Where image is everything and character is seen as less important. We end up with celebrities who seem to be narcissistic and self-centered. And there seem to be nothing but shortcuts to money and fame that we're looking for. But the gospel of Jesus calls us to swim against this tide. When God talks about the riches he's going to give us, it's nothing to do with the physical stuff. He says he wants to give us joy and peace, courage, generosity, and wisdom. In other words, he wants to form our character by walking with us. So as we surrender more to Jesus every day, he gives us what we need to live a more divine life. None of us should come through even a week of our Christian lives unchanged, untransformed in some way. He promises that he wants us to share his divine nature, to become more like Jesus, and we can do that. Paul says we have a new relationship with God. We have a new family. If we look around us this morning, where else in the world would you find a group of people who are so diverse, different ages, different statuses in life, different types of people, every age, every race, every job? God's true family is amazing. So how do we go about this? Well, we simply need to face up to our struggles with God. Not simply ask God, how could have you allowed this to happen if something goes wrong? Or not saying, can I really trust God if something is difficult in our lives? Or not saying, can I even trust God if I don't understand what is happening? I've noticed in most of the churches I've ever been in, and it's certainly true of this one as well, that some people, when they're going through tough times, they'll withdraw from the Christian family. They'll not turn up here on a Sunday until things are fixed and they feel they can come back again. As we hit turbulence, we seem to have a tendency to withdraw from God and from his Christian family. And that's not really how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to go through things together, not deny them, not go under them or over them. We've actually got to go through these things together. So I worry about what isn't working. What is it about our Sunday community that would cause somebody to walk away just at the moment when they need that community most? So I do pray that our church on a Sunday morning will be a place of community, that we will get to know each other, get to love each other, get to care for each other. Our home groups should be places of sharing any anguish that we have, where we can comfort each other and pray with each other and help each other plot ways forward. And our pastoral team should be a place where we pick up those who are in trouble, those who are vulnerable, those who can't make it to church because they're too ill. And again, we're taking steps to try and make that better. Clive has volunteered to be a sort of triage for the 10:30 service, and we've got a couple of people at the 9 o'clock service as well to help us make sure we don't miss people out. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that next week, about how that will work. But at the end of the day, it's up to each one of us, when things aren't going well, not to say, well, it's at that moment I'm going to abandon the family and abandon God until I've come through it. We need to go through it with God, not try to go under it or over it or deny it or bypass it, but to actually work with God and allow Him to bring us closer in those moments. We need to get to a point when times are hard, we're more likely to seek Him because we've already learned to trust Him. Because of the time we've put in with Him, building our relationship with Him beforehand. It's a bit like putting something in the bank. When good idea to put money in the bank when things are going well, saving up for a rainy day, so that when that rainy day comes, there is something to draw on. It's a bit like that with God, I find, that actually we need to invest in our relationship with Him so that we know what He's like when the tough time comes around, and we know what He expects of us and how He can build us through our tough times. It's about relationship, and every relationship benefits from time invested in it. You might say that one of God's love languages is time. He likes us to spend time with Him. Ultimately, investing time in prayer and getting to grips with the Bible will allow ourselves to be changed. So just very briefly at the end, one woman who went through this type of journey was the woman Jesus met at the well that Barbara read. The whole of her life had been a series of lessons. And then one lunchtime, she bumped into Jesus at the well. And Jesus offers the woman at the well living water. That living water that she will have drawn for Him, just a signpost to the water that Jesus is really offering. A water that will quench our thirst so we'll never be thirsty again. It'll become like a spring continually bubbling up inside of us, refreshing us with new life. Jesus says, "That's me. I'm the living water." That is Him. And He's waiting on us to do what He does best. But this woman can't take a shortcut. She has to face her past. She can't go over it. She can't go through it. She can't bypass it. She has to go through it with Jesus. This is a woman who, a matter of an hour or so before, had been trapped in a life as a social outcast. No way backwards or forwards. But this woman becomes the first evangelist to her people, the Samaritans, and becomes the vehicle of hope to all her friends. And the same is true for us. A life with God could enable us to be people of integrity, people of character, to live a life free in Jesus. There's lots of promises in these two readings, and I just pray that we'll take hold of those promises. Invest time in getting to know God so that we can receive those promises. And as we meet those circumstances that we find tough, we won't deny them, we won't go under them, we won't go over them. We will go through them with God, face them, and allow Him to build character, enable us to become more like Jesus. There were no shortcuts for the woman at the well. Forgiveness was immediate, yes, but character was going to take a little longer. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You want to invest Your time with us. And we pray that we would go out of our way this week and in the weeks to come to invest our time in You so that we get to know You in the good times, so that we're ready with You, established in relationship with You when the bad times come. Father, we thank You for the forgiveness that You offered this woman at the well and to each one of us here today. whatever we've been like, we can turn our back on the old life and walk with you again, forgiven, renewed. Father, we pray that we would do that. And we pray that we would allow your Spirit to live in our lives. Your Spirit to encourage us. Your Spirit to heal us. To build our character. May our roots go down deep into the soil of your marvelous love. Amen. And as Stephen